Workshop presents Wet Saturday, a comedy by Lee Anderson from a short story by John Collier.
Yes, it's a wet Saturday. Never saw it rain harder. I'm Princey, Frederick Princey, just an ordinary family man. I practice law. I have a son, a daughter, and a wife. Like most of the people in our village, we're home this July. I might be out golfing now if it hadn't been for this confounded rain.
I'm Mrs. Princey. I plan to drive over to the nursery this afternoon for some arbutus. As the boarders, you know.
Oh, the whole lot of them make me sick. Yes, I'm George, son and heir. I had a date to go punting. Punting? Couldn't find the blasted punt in this weather, so I'm home.
I'm Millicent. I was going to play croquet, try a wicket or two under the trees. That's how I happened to have the mallet.
I'm Withers, the local curate. I dropped by to talk to Millicent, to help put the croquet things away.
Yes, that's the Princey family. And their visitor. We find them at home. Mrs. Princey, Millicent, George sprawled on a couch, Mr. Princey sucking a dry pipe. Their living room is dull and overstuffed. Rain beats at the windows. They are any middle-class family at home on a wet day, except for one small item. As you sit with them in the living room, you can see through the door to the sun porch a pair of men's feet, encased in black boots. They look like the feet of a curate. There's a tenseness in the room. The air is charged with excitement. But the feet are very still.
Don't keep staring at them. Listen to me, all of you. Don't you see? They'd send her to a lunatic asylum. A criminal lunatic asylum. At the very least, they might hang her. Think of the disgrace, the newspapers, the neighbors, the village.
Oh, Fred, it's too awful.
They'll hoot us. Hoot me, do you hear? I've kept my head up with a family of fools all these years. Do you think I'm going to resign from the bench, the vestry, stop writing to the Times, sell out, live in some foggy hotel abroad because I've been cursed with a lunatic daughter?
I'll kill myself. I will.
Don't be a fool.
Any more than you have been, the governor means.
Be quiet, George. We have very little time. None for nonsense. I intend to do something. You understand? Do something. George.
Yes?
Get off that couch. Sit up on your spine. You might be of a little use here, if you could think.
Yes, that's the Princey family. They might have been filling their leisure a dozen different ways, but it is raining, and we find them at home. Mrs. Princey, Millicent, George sprawled on a couch, Mr. Princey sucking a dry pipe. They are indeed any middle-class family at home on a wet day, except for that one small item. Those feet. You can see them through the door of the sun porch. That pair of men's feet, encased in black boots. The feet are still.
Lunatic asylum. A hanging. In our family. Think of the neighbors.
Oh, Fred, they don't matter. It's
oh, face facts, Mater.
Keep quiet, George. Listen to me, will you?
Listen, Governor, this isn't my funeral.
Shut up. Oh, how far did you get with your medicine before they threw you out as a hopeless idiot?
You know as well as I do.
Did they drive enough into your thick head for you to be able to guess what a competent doctor could tell about such a wound?
Well, it's...
All right, say something.
Well, it's a knock or a blow.
As if a tile fell off a roof, maybe? Or from a piece of the coping?
Well, Governor, it's like this.
Tell me, is it possible?
No.
Why not?
Oh, because you hit him several times?
Oh, George. George, how can you? Oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
You've got to stand it, my dear. Keep that hysterical note out of your voice. Do you hear?
Yes.
We are talking about the weather. Now, George.
Yes?
George, if he fell down the old well, striking his head several times, what about it, eh?
I really don't know, Governor. What about it?
Don't be an ass. I'm asking you to think. He'd have had to hit the side several times in 30 or 40 feet and at all the correct angles. No. Afraid not. Well, we shall have to go over it all again, Millicent.
No, Father. No, I couldn't. Fred, you mustn't.
Millicent, we must go over it all again.
Oh.
Perhaps you've forgotten something. One tiny irrelevant detail may save or ruin us. Particularly you, Millicent. You don't want to be put in an asylum, do you? Or be hanged?
Fred, you're torturing her.
Oh, face facts, Mater. With him lying in there, no use pretending it's a picnic.
They might hang you, Millicent. Oh, stop that shaking. Stop it. You hear? You must stop it. You must keep your voice quiet. Millicent, we're talking of the weather. Now we will proceed.
I can't. Not with those boots there.
Should have thought of that, Millie. I'm not moving them.
Oh.
No, Millicent. Look at me. Answer me truthfully. Truthfully, do you hear? Answer me. You were in the croquet court.
Yes.
Who knew you were in love with this wretched curate?
No, I've never said a word.
Ah, don't worry. The old bloody village knows. They've been sniggering about it at the pub for 3 years past.
Likely enough. My daughter, too. What a filthy mess. Listen, we continue. You were on the croquet court.
Yes.
You were putting the croquet set into its box.
Yes. It was starting to rain. I was carrying the balls and mallets into the sun porch. The box was there.
You heard someone enter the garden gate and come across the yard?
Yes.
Could you see who it was?
Not at first. I was going into the sun porch. I threw down the mallets and turned around.
It was Withers?
Yes.
So you called him?
Yes.
Loudly? Did you call him loudly? Could anyone have heard?
No, Father, I'm sure not. I didn't really call him. I just spoke his name. He saw me as I went to the door. He just waved his hand and came over.
How can I find out from you whether there was anyone about, whether he could have been seen?
I'm sure not, Father. I'm quite sure.
So you both went into the sun port?
Yes. It was raining hard then.
What did he say?
He said, "Hello, Millie." And excuse his coming in the back way, but he'd set out to walk over to Leicester.
Yes?
And he said, passing the park, he'd seen the house and suddenly thought of me. And he thought he'd just look in for a minute. He had something to tell me.
Go on.
He said he was so happy, he wanted me to share it. He'd heard from the bishop he was to have the vicarage. And it wasn't only that. It meant he could marry. And he began to stutter and get all confused. Of course, I thought he meant me.
Don't tell me what you thought. Tell me exactly what he said. Nothing else.
Well...
Oh, stop crying. It's a luxury you can't afford any longer. Tell me what happened.
It wasn't me. It was Ella Bragg and David. He was sorry and all that. And then he went to go.
And then?
I went mad. He turned his back. I had the winning post of the croquet set in my hand. I forgot to drop it in the box when he came.
Did you shout or scream? I mean, as you hit him.
No, I'm sure I didn't.
Did he? Go on, speak up.
No, Father.
And then?
I threw it down. I came straight in here. I went to look for Mother.
My poor baby.
Oh, I wish I were dead.
And you met none of the servants? No one?
No one. Leave the child alone, Fred.
Not such a child, Mater. Lily, I had no idea.
Keep quiet, George. I'm thinking. No one will go into the sandbox the back way, raining as it is. It's too soggy through the garden. And, you see, George? He probably told people he was going to Leiston. Certainly, no one knows he came here. But he didn't decide until he crossed the park. He might have been attacked in the woods. We must consider every detail. A curate with his head battered
in. Oh, don't, Father. Don't!
You want to be hanged? Listen, you fool. Listen, all of you. This may save us. Yes, it will save us. Might have been attacked in the woods. Henry Spinney. See? He was attacked in Henry Spinney. It's so simple. There'll be no search till morning. There's time. Yes. Yes. I've saved it.
Yes, Governor. By Christopher, that does it.
Fred, I'm sure it will be for the best. Won't it, Millicent, dear? I suppose so.
Now for the details. George, every detail must be thrashed out over and over again. Traces. Motive. A tramp, I suppose. I would have preferred something more, shall we say, conclusive. Still, it must be robbery. What else? A curate. Head battered in. Now, who'd want to kill Withers?
Who'd kill Withers? Well, I would, with pleasure. Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Princey?
Captain Smollett.
Oh, please sit down. Please, you mustn't get up for me, Mrs. Princey. And you, Millicent, huh? Just being neighborly on a bad day. I wanted to ask you about those daylight bulbs, Princey. Took a shortcut on account of the rain and walked right in. Knew you wouldn't mind.
Oh, he heard you, Father.
Oh, my dear, we can all have our little jokes. Don't pretend to be shocked. This way, Smollett. This girl, facing the fireplace. Sit down, Mother.
Just straightening the curtain to the sun porch, dear. It looks so gloomy out there. Might as well shut the rain out.
Yeah. Just talking about little theoretical curate killings, Smollett. Young people in these days like thrillers.
Paul Sonnyside. Justifiable Paul Sonnyside. Have you heard about Ella Bragdon Davis? She's going to marry the curate. I shall be most properly laughed at.
Oh, why? Why should you be laughed at, Smollett?
Oh, I had a shot in that direction myself. She said yes, too. Hadn't you heard? Oh, she told most people. Now it'll look as if I got turned down for a white rat in a dog collar.
Pity.
Oh, fortune of war, you know.
Yes, fortune of war. Odd how it happens, isn't it? Oh, sit down, Smollett. Mother, Millicent, console Captain Smollett with your best light conversation. George and I have something to look at outside. It's rain, you know. There, awful bad.
Come on, George.
All right, old Governor. Maybe we'll need raincoats.
What? Oh, I don't think so. Make yourself at home, Smollett. Make yourself at home.
A cigarette, Captain Smollett.
Oh, thank you. Nasty day to be going out.
It's something about the old well, just off the sun porch door, you know. This terrible sodden weather seems to have loosened some of the stones.
Oh, too bad. Yes, dash too bad. Spoils the tennis and croquet. I mean, a day like this, doesn't it, Millie?
Oh, yes. Yes, it does. You see, was practicing out on the croquet court earlier, but... Do pull your chair nearer the fire, Captain. We're so damp, we thought it would be cozy to light it.
Oh, thank you. I'm quite comfortable.
I hope you don't feel
too badly about Ella Davis?
Oh, can't always win. Can't understand what you women see in these bloodless clinics.
Oh, I always thought Mr. Withers was... He is a very charming man.
Well, quite agree. But why should anyone want to marry him? You wouldn't want to marry him, would you, Millie?
Oh, not now. Oh, no, of course not.
What Millicent means is... Well, there was a time.
I see. Like Gilbert and Sullivan. Time was when maidens of the noblest station, forsaking even military men, would gaze upon me wrapped in adoration. Ah, me, I was a fair young curate then. Sorry. Yes, Princely. Good Lord, man. You come in on a fellow suddenly.
Don't mind this old double-barreled shotgun. Been working on it. Sorry. May I have your attention for a minute? There's something in the sun porch I'd like to show you.
Yes, of course.
Sorry. George and I went out to see if we could shoot some rats which had been driven out of the old well by the high water. Afraid they might get into the house. Now, you must listen to me very carefully. Very carefully. Or you will be shot by accident.
Pretty. What's gotten into you?
I mean that this gun could have an accident. Oh, heavens, this isn't a hold-up, man. Put your hands down and close your mouth. It's just a little talk I want to have with you.
I see. Very well. Go on.
A very tragic happening has taken place this afternoon. It'll be even more tragic unless it's smoothed over.
Oh?
You heard me ask, as you came in, who would kill Withers. You also heard Millicent make a comment, an unguarded comment.
Well, what of it?
Very little. Unless you were to hear that Withers had met a violent end this very afternoon. And that, my dear Smollett, is what you're going to hear.
What? Withers?
Yes.
Who killed him?
Millicent.
Good Lord.
Yes, it is rather a mess. And of course, you would have remembered and guessed.
Well, maybe, yes. I suppose I should.
Therefore, you constitute a problem.
Well, why did she kill him?
Well, it's one of those disgusting things. Pitiable, too. She deluded herself that he was in love with her.
Good heavens. Millie. Yes, of course, I see.
He told her about the Davis girl.
Oh, I understand.
Well, I have no wish, as you will comprehend, that she should be proved either a lunatic or a murderess. I could hardly go on living here after that.
Well, I suppose not.
On the other hand, you know about it.
Yes, I see. That makes me a problem. You're wondering if I could keep my mouth shut. If I promised...
I'm wondering if I could believe you.
But if I promised...
If things went smoothly, yes. But not if there was any sort of suspicion, any questioning. You'd be afraid of being an accessory.
Oh, I don't know.
I do. Now, what are we going to do?
I can't see anything else. You'd never be fool enough to do me in. I mean, you can't get rid of two corpses, you know.
I regard it as a better risk than the other. It could be an accident. Or you and Withers could both disappear. There are possibilities in that.
Listen, you can't...
I can, but there may be a way out. There is, Smollett. You gave it to me yourself.
I did? Well, what?
You said you would kill Withers. You have a motive.
Oh, look here. I was joking. I mean, of course you saw that.
Yes, you're always joking. People think there must be something behind it. Listen, Smollett. I can't trust you. You must trust me. Otherwise, I'll kill you now, in the next minute. I mean that. You can choose between dying and living.
Go on.
There's the old well just outside the sun porch door. That's where I'm going to put Withers. No outsider knows he's come up here this afternoon. No one will ever look there for him unless you tell them. You must give me evidence that you have murdered Withers.
I murdered him? But why do you want that?
So that I shall be perfectly sure that you will never open your lips on the subject.
Oh, I see. What evidence?
George, hit him in the face.
Huh? Oh, sure.
Oh, George!
Okay.
I'm sorry, Smollett, but there must be traces of a struggle between you and Withers. Then it will not be altogether safe for you to go to the police.
Can't you take my word, man?
I will when we are finished. George, get the croquet post.
Yes, Governor.
Take a handkerchief to it. In there, on the second porch floor.
I've got it, Governor.
There, Captain. There's the weapon.
As I told you, Smollett. Now, you just grasp the end that meshed Withers' head.
But good Lord, you can't!
I shall shoot you if you don't.
Oh, all right.
That's it. Now, George, pull a few hairs out of the captain's head and put them under the nails of Withers' right hand.
Princey, have you gone mad? Do you know what you're doing?
With this gun, yes. Go ahead, George.
All right, I must your hair up, Captain.
No! Ow!
Oh, shut up, Smollett.
There. That's all we need. Now for Withers, and we'll fix it right up. Be right with you, Governor.
Smollett, you may turn around. Withers is just there in the sunboard. Draw back the curtain.
Good Lord, Prince.
Yes, it is rather a mess. But we'll get him fixed up. Now, you, Smollett. You've just got to drag him through the door and dump him in the old well.
Just beyond the door, Captain.
All right.
Stand aside. Out of range, George. Only one person I want to hit. Keep quiet. My aim is none too good.
Wait a minute.
That's better, Smolly. Much better. Now, get your hat and raincoat.
Go on.
In here, Smollett. You'll have to take him outside.
By the shoulders ought to do it.
Keep quiet, George. Go along, Smollett. Go on. You've seen dead men before. Drag him! I'll just hold the gun here to make sure everything goes all right.
Mother, come away from the window, dear. Don't look. But Captain Smollett, father is a very resourceful man, Millicent. I'm sure what he's doing
but
is...
the captain, I can't stand it.
You mustn't question your dear father.
Oh. I say, are you two still at it? There's enough trouble around here without blubbering.
Don't you call me blubbering, George Prince.
So you see, Smollett, everything's perfectly safe. Remember? No one knows that Withers came here. Everyone thinks he walked over to Leicester. That's 5 miles of country to search. They'll never look in our well. You see how safe it is?
Oh, yes, come along in
and have tea, Smollett. It's much too wet to hunt for those rats. Tea ready, my dear?
In just a minute, dear. I'll ring for Bridget.
Sit down, Smollett. Oh, shove that wet raincoat in the corner there. Cigarette? Help yourself. Oh, I'll stick my pipe. Funny how attached you get to them. My wife always says, you know...
Everything's hot, Mum. Oh, Bridget, yes. Put the tray in front of me here on the table. Yes, that's it. And give Captain Smollett a tea napkin.
You see, my dear... George and I went out to shoot some rats and found Captain Smollett. I say, don't be offended, my dear chap. Just a little joke on a bad day.
You must have walked up the back drive, Captain.
Yes, that was it. Yes.
Give the captain this cup, Bridget. Sugar, Captain? Oh, yes, of course, I remember. Cream and no sugar.
I say, Captain... You cut your lip.
I just knocked it.
You seem upset. Come in, you're shaking.
I'll have Bridget bring some iodine.
Oh, no, please don't trouble. It is nothing at all.
Can I fetch it, Mum? No, No, I guess not, Bridget. That will be all.
Smollett is very kind, my dears. He knows all our trouble. We can rely on him. We have his word.
Oh, have we? Okay, Captain Smollett, you are good.
Really, I must be getting on. I told Mrs. Whittaker I'd drop in for tea. I hope you feel better, Millie.
Oh, yes. Oh, I don't. I feel sick. Terribly sick.
You must excuse her, Smollett. Overwrought me, you know. Too
yes.
much gadding.
Yes, of course, yes.
Well, glad you dropped in, old chap. Come again, we'll go over those dahlia bulbs. I have some beauties.
Well, thank you, Gracious. Yes, thank you for the tea, Mrs. Princey.
Oh, thank you, Captain Smollett.
Go out the front way, Smollett. Walk's drier. And don't worry, old chap. Don't worry at all.
No, no, I won't. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, my dear, why don't you rest a little? Good afternoon for a nap.
Yes, I think I will. Come, Millicent. You must have caught a severe cold on the croquet court to make you feel so sick. I shall give you a hot foot bath and put you to bed. A couple of days in bed will set you right. Yes. Come along, dear.
Yes, Mother.
Yes, I'll move along, too. Huh. Looks like it might clear. See you later, Governor.
All right, George, my boy. See you later. See you all later. Hello? Hello? Operator? Give me police headquarters. Hello? Police station? This is Mr. Princey of Abbots Road, Leiston. Yes. Something very extraordinary is taking place in my house. We came back from a walk to find a visitor waiting for us. An old family friend. Yes, we had tea with him. And he's just left. And now I find something quite extraordinary. Yes, something quite extraordinary has happened. Something, well, rather sinister in the Sun Porch. There are bloodstains and a croquet post with blood on it. I don't like the look of it at all. Yes. Yes, I'd be awfully glad if you would. Send someone right over, won't you? Thanks. Splendid. Thank you. Goodbye.
Oh, Fred, have you seen my glasses anywhere? I can't find them.
Yes, they're down here, my dear, on the console. I'll bring them right up.
You've been listening to the Columbia Workshops production of Wet Saturday, a short comedy by Lee Anderson from the story of the same name by John Collier. It was adapted for radio by Margaret Lou Worth and directed by William N. Robeson. The part of Princey was played by Eustace Wyatt, Mrs. Princey by Agnes Moorhead, Millicent by Naomi Campbell, George by Ian Martin, Captain Smollett by Reginald Bache, Withers by Don Costello, and Bridget by Jean Hart. The original music was written by Bernard Herrmann, who conducted the orchestra. First Class Private Throg by Parker Fenley, which was originally scheduled in tonight's broadcast, will be heard in the near future. Next Monday night at this same time, the Columbia Workshop will present Wild Man, an original play for radio by David Redstone. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.